legislative update, and committee action update.
Mr. President, members of council, I'll be as brief as I can with the legislative update today. I do have one piece of legislation that's brand new that I want to give you. I currently asked our EMS department as well as our legal department to take a quick look at this piece of legislation. I don't think it harms us, but I want to make sure that you folks know what they're proposing in Dover. This is House Bill 272. We just recently introduced, as I said, and this bill, the way it affects our paramedics, the very bottom paragraph where I've highlighted says, no paramedic shall be subject to civil liability based solely upon failure to obtain consent in rendering emergency medical services. The crux of this, I think, is already covered. Bob Schooner told me that there is already an implied consent law that allows the paramedics to perform their services in the event they cannot gain consent from the patient. I think this law may be just a duplicate authorization of the same thing. But I wanted you to be aware it's been introduced. I've asked Mr. Moore and Mr. Schooner both to take a look at it. As I said, our original reaction from Mr. Schooner was that they really don't need that. They already have that sort of authorization. The only other things that I wanted to just bring you up to date on is that a couple little bills here. The bill that I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, House Bill 243, which would move all agricultural lease matters over to the Justice of the Peace Court, that bill has been released from the House Committee and is on the House floor today for consideration. I don't think you had a problem with that. You didn't mention it. The other bill that we've talked about but you didn't give me any direction on was the bill that would waive weight limits on trucks carrying live poultry. That bill has passed the Senate and it's now in the House Ag Committee. I don't see much opposition. That bill seems to be moving through okay.
Isn't that up to DelDOT?
This will circumvent DelDOT's weight limit. For just a very small increase, I think it's 3%, to allow poultry trucks carrying live animals, live chickens, mm-hmm. to be slightly overweight because it's hard to calculate how much each chicken weighs before you put him on the truck. And the other issue is that the truck has to be compliant with all other safety regulations to get that waiver.
It probably should refer to pigs and cows, too.
Perhaps.
It's hard to judge.
Right. That concludes my update. I just want to let you know those
Any
two
questions
things.
Questions from council?
Yeah, fine.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We'll talk more about that 272 next week.
Sure. Fine. Thank you.
We have one.
Mrs. Jennings, grants.
Oh, no.
I have four grants for your consideration. The first one is Delaware Ducks Unlimited. They are requesting support for their annual Green Week event. The event provides a day for outdoors for children to learn conservation and participate in various activities. There is no specific amount requested. The last grant received was $1,000. This request would qualify for a countywide youth grant.
Isn't that a hunting group?
Duck hunters? I don't know who the Green Wing is. Green Wing's for young children.
Yeah. I know, but the group is Ducks Unlimited is a hunting group. It's a
conservation group.
Conservation.
Well, I heard that word, yes. Conservation. But, okay.
I'm making
a
motion.
Mr. Wilson, I'll give you the gavel.
You are.
And I'll make the motion.
Okay. rather than relinquish the gavel, I will make that motion since it's coming out of our countywide fund for youth. Ms. Deaver, would you second that motion, please?
For how much?
It's coming out of our collective fund.
Our collective fund, which is other than our councilmatic grant.
Correct. The countywide youth.
Yeah, we've done it before, haven't we?
Well, last year the grant we gave them came from myself, Mr. Cole, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Phillips.
Oh.
But we have established this.
But
new
it's this qualifies.
New.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You should do that, yes.
A motion, Mr. Phillips, second Mrs. Deaver, mm-hmm. to grant $1,000 from our countywide youth grant fund. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes, but I don't like shooting ducks.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Next one is the Dagsboro Volunteer Fire Company. They're requesting $500 to support the Alley Cat Competition Dance Troupe. There has been no past grants.
I'll make that motion from my account, please.
I'll second.
They ask for a certain amount?
$500.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $500, Mr. Wilson's account to the Dagsboro.
Mr. Phillips.
I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips' account.
Yeah,
I wouldn't take your money, Sam. The Dagsboro Volunteer Fire Company for the Alley Cat Competition Dance Troupe. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carried.
The next one is a grant that Mr. Cole put on the agenda.
Yes.
Do we want to?
No, he will.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay. They're requesting a grant to assist in the purchase of a new traffic control unit that would cost the company $70,000. The unit will be used to assist the direction of traffic around emergency scenes. There is no specific amount requested. Last council grant was $500 from Mr. Cole.
If somebody make the motion, Mr. Cole wants to grant $1,000.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Cole's account to Millville Volunteer Fire Company for the new traffic control unit. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll vote yes, motion carried.
And the last grant is the City of Seaford. They're requesting support for their annual Nanticoke River Fest. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Vincent.
If someone make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500 from my account to the City of Seaford for Nanticoke River Fest activities. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore, any zoning ordinances?
There are not.
This is brought before council, Mr. Guy?
Well, he's coming
okay,
up.
Okay, certainly.
Could I ask that maybe in a future agenda we could put the topic of these tire piles that are throughout the county on an agenda? It would seem like nothing's going to get done unless we do it. It seems like more and more issues that traditionally have been taken on by the state or at least would fall under what we would presume is state authority are not getting done. And we just may have to start stepping up as a county, taking responsibility. In this case, the tire pile north of Georgetown on Route 113 is unsightly. It could be a tremendous fire hazard. I took a trip around the county with a local citizen this week, and he showed me four other locations with tire piles, one of which was close to a home for the elderly, and there's a grave concern that the toxic smoke that could come off a tire fire could get into the ventilation system. It would be something that I would appreciate if council would allow us to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
A second thing is there has been an ordinance on the book for some while that charges a fee, a conservation fee is what I believe it was called, when developers wanted to increase density while still falling within the parameters of the code, and that money would end up into a conservation fund. Because of the way that ordinance was structured, it's very restrictive. It's hard for developers to utilize it. I, at the time, said there'd be a way that we could broaden this ordinance to allow for more money to be potentially garnered for conservation funding by looking at a fee for upzoning. Right now, when somebody comes in for, in essence, an upzoning from 2 units per acre to maybe medium residential, 4, 6, high residential, even up to 12, there's no consideration for the tremendous equity appreciation that property is going to enjoy by simply having 3 votes up here grant them that upzoning. And as a result, I feel that we're missing an opportunity to create an equitable playing field in this county between property owners and properties in general, as well as potentially raise funds for the preservation of land for perpetual use or perpetual enjoyment by the public.
So you're going to buy upzoning? People can buy upzoning by
It would still have to go through the entire public hearing process. Mm-hmm. It would still have to meet the same standards by which this council has traditionally looked at properties when we considered rezoning. But rather than only giving these upzonings to those who have either perceived political influence or real political influence, or the one who has the highest paid attorneys and land use consultants, there should be a component in there, I believe, that could provide the county money to potentially purchase the development rights on other properties, in essence downzone properties, so that we don't have as many units that are available for development over time. Some people have suggested we should just regulate away development rights, but as is demonstrated by the Farmland Preservation Program, those development rights have real value. There's a price that's been placed on them, but right now nobody has money to purchase those development rights. The state has cut that funding. This council has not seen fit to fund the Farmland Preservation Program in the last couple years. Granted, we're a conservative body, but in the case of this ordinance, it may provide some dollars from the developers who are enjoying the windfall profit of upzoning. Some of that windfall profit should go back to the public.
It should go into an impact fee to pay for the services that people are going to need.
And finally, the last thing with respect to our budget, I've continued to hear from employees that they miss the anniversary bonuses. That was something that we as a group took away in the past. I would like us to revisit that if there is the will. I'm not saying that it should pass, but we should look at it in light of the total picture. We've reduced our workforce by 10% over the last several years. So are those employees that are left doing more work and maybe deserve additional compensation? We are not in the dire straits that we were 4 years ago. So should we consider providing additional compensation to these employees? I think it's good, Mr. President, you made it a point to tie increases in salaries to the merit of each individual employee's efforts. This is something that's not merit-based. This isn't an anniversary bonus. And I'll be the first to admit that I voted to take it away, but I continue to get comments from employees that morale has suffered as a result of that, and it's something that I wanted to ask the Budget Committee to revisit. That's all.
Anything else from Council?
No.
We're going to do, we can still got additional business. Rocco? Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I wasn't sure. I'm glad you pronounced it.
I usually do that. Good afternoon, Mr. President, Council, and staff. My name is Rocco Maialano. I live at 17 Trade Winds Lane, and that's in Lewis, Delaware. I retired to Lewis, unincorporated, which I feel is a great place to retire. I don't think there's any better place. And I run into a problem. I retired as executive director of a water and wastewater utility. And I run into a problem. And it's ironic, it's a water problem. I live at 17 Trade Winds. They built a house next door to me at 19 Trade Winds, the address. And when they built it, they actually landlocked my property now where water just stays on. I'm just going to pass these down. The builder actually put a sump pump directly to my septic system, and it's going over to my septic system. I went to the constable here, I guess, in the county, spoke to him. He referred me to Soil Conservation. Soil Conservation said to me, she really tried to help me out a lot. She went and spoke to the developer, spoke to whoever she could, and they basically said, tough luck. There's no rules in this county that says that the developer has to be accountable for flooding somebody else's property. When I built my house, I made sure that my builder was a private builder, private home, that he made sure that the water did not run off on the property next door. They come along.
It's not running off, it's pumping off, out yeah. and off.
Uh-huh. No, not only that, it's not only the sump pump, it's the actual water itself. When they built the property, they built the property up a little bit higher than mine, mm-hmm. and now they actually caused the water, and you can see from these photos, they made the back half of my property useless. I know you hear these complaints all the time. I realize that I sat in, as an executive director, and believe me, my rule was, the customer's always right, and the second rule was go back to rule one. I'm sure you know that. And I'm hoping this county can look at these ordinances and somehow change the way these developers and hold them accountable. I mean, so far, my neighbor, she's a very good person, the person who built the house. Very nice person. Her and I are working on this together, and she got a price of $7,000 to try and straighten out the problem, to grade the property so now that the water would run out to the front. And, it's just, I'm retired. I'm a senior citizen. I'm going to be 70 years old. And 70.
No.
Yeah, 1944. And, this was a great place to retire to. Now they just, made the half of my property useless.
Can I ask you what type of septic system you have?
Mound system.
And you do.
I know there was water.
Realize that does absolutely. Push water into a puddle by your.
No, the septic system is completely on the opposite side of the property from where the water's laying. The mound.
Are these pictures? It's not.
No, the mound is here. I'll show you this.
That house already built when you went there?
I would like to remind council, although you'd like to be courteous to people speaking under our rules of procedure, the only one that should be asking any questions would be the president.
Okay, Mr. President.
There was no house. The property next door to me, to the right of my house, you're facing my house to the right, was an empty lot for years, right. Empty piece of property for years. Someone finally built a house on it. And these properties are close to 3/4 acre, just about 3/4 acre. And, I made sure when I built the property that it didn't infringe on my next-door neighbor's property. I put a swale down the side so that the water would run down the side. I realized the property's grade up next to me. But I didn't have this kind of problem until they built this property. And I'm not sure what council can do because basically the builder said to me, now, quote, good luck. That's what he said to me. And right now, we're supposed to meet with Soil Conservation and the builder, and he already has told Soil Conservation, we're not doing this for free. And this is the type of attitude that you have to live with. And I just don't think it's fair. I think there should be some type of ordinances where these developers, they make lots of money on these houses, should be not infringe on other people's property. Basically, that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for coming and bringing
thank
it to
you.
Us.
Please wait around. I'd like to talk to you after.
Right, thank you.
Timothy Snyder.
That was our attorney.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'd rather than Georgetown. I had a motion to go into executive session for personnel. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second.
Yes, second.
Mr. Deaver. To go into executive session for personnel. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now going to executive session for personnel only.